On February 16th, at the Indian Army's Western Command headquarters in Chandi Mandir, Haryana, a place which is crucial to India's security, something eye-catching happened. It was not an ordinary briefing, not a regular visit, but a high-profile meeting that signals a shift in global strategy. Sagio Gore, the US ambassador here in India, along with Admiral Samuel Paparo, the commander of the US Indo-Pacific Command, together they went there to learn about India's Western Front and what it means for regional security. So who exactly is Sagio Gore? Well, he's more than just an ambassador. He was born on 30 November 1986 in Tashkent, the then Soviet Uzbekistan, and later moved to the United States. He studied at George Washington University, got involved in politics early, and built his career working with high-level US Republican leaders and campaigns. In 2025, he was appointed by US President Donald Trump as both US Ambassador to India and Special Envoy for South and Central Asia, a role that covers a whole region of strategic importance from Pakistan to Afghanistan and beyond. He is known for being a trusted aide to Trump, someone who's been right there through big political movements in the US. Now, Sagio Gore and Admiral Paparo were briefed on the Western Command's history, its importance and its role in recent operations, including Operation Sindhu that happened on May 2025, where the Indian Army carried out precision actions against terror and military targets inside Pakistan. They were told how the Western Command handles the stretch from Akhnoor in Jammu and Kashmir down to Fazilika in Punjab, a long and challenging frontier with Pakistan. Now, this kind of access and open discussion is not routine. Yes, diplomats do visit military bases sometimes, but for a US ambassador and a top US military commander to be briefed on Indian Army's frontline operation is a rare news. Especially when you remember that just last year, the very general sitting across the border in Pakistan, someone India sees as a direct security adversary, was invited to the White House by President Trump. Think about that for a second. On one hand, Washington is engaging with Pakistan's top military leadership. On the other hand, it is deepening defense coordination with India's Western Command. That is not random, that is strategic balancing. The US talks to everyone, even rivals of its partners, because its goal is not friendship, it's influence. That's how big powers operate. They keep channels open on all sides, while quietly building stronger partnerships where it matters most. Previously, all these things used to be hidden secret, but now it's all out in the open and they make it look as if it's normal. That's the world we are living in right now. You can literally legitimize anything and everything today with some backup logic. Now here's where the timing becomes interesting. This conversation comes right after the US-India trade deal was finalized, a big economic and diplomatic step for both countries. That deal opened doors for deeper cooperation in technology, commerce and supply chains. Right after that, we see this defense-focused engagement, almost like another piece of partnership puzzle falling into place. In simple terms, we know that trade strengthens the economic bridge, defense talks reinforce strategic alignment. Together, they show how far the partnership has grown, not just in one field, but across economy, diplomacy and security. Now, if you think about it like a chessboard, it starts to make more sense. For decades, the United States has been carefully shaping alliances across Asia, and India is one of the most important players in that game. By strengthening ties with India economically and militarily, the US is basically building a counterbalance to China's influence in the region. Now, many of you might think, well, India has been used by the United States. US is treating India as a bait. But then there is another strong angle to it. It also strongly means that India is a key partner in a strategy that looks at security, economy and global influence together. Now think about it. When you see Sagio Gore not just at cricket matches or dinners with ministers, but standing alongside military commanders and engaging with army's top leadership, it sends a message. The US wants a multi-layered constant engagement with India. Not just trade, not just diplomacy, but culture, sports, strategy and yes, military cooperation. Now, some people might ask, if India's ambassador to the United States tried to walk into CENTCOM headquarters in Florida so openly, would he be welcomed the same way? Probably not. It's a different world in Washington. But the fact that the US ambassador here can move freely through strategic spaces in India, that clearly shows a shift in how both countries view each other. Although if India wants a visit to any American base, today I believe that can be easily arranged. That isn't a big problem. Unlike Russia, China or Iran, with whom the US has direct strategic competition and conflict, India is officially a partner of the United States. Washington sees India as a key counterweight to China's rise in Asia, a major market for American goods, and an important partner in defense and technology cooperation. That is why India participates through informally and independently in groupings like the Quad and security dialogues that the US values. Then the US also continues to deepen high-tech, defense and trade engagement with India, even if there are disputes. For example, the recent AI summit, where a lot of American companies came to India and spoke about their possible investments. Now, you have to understand that this partnership is not unconditional. It's transactional and shaped by mutual interests. But then you have to agree that it is fundamentally different from how the US treats countries which they view as hostile. Now, in 2025 and 2026, the US has pressured India for importing Russian oil. However, did you notice how US applied pressure in India? Instead of blacklisting India or imposing primary sanctions, which would directly prohibit trade, the US has imposed higher tariffs on Indian exports to punish Russian oil purchases. This is a softer form of economic coercion. It makes doing business with India more costly, but it doesn't outrightly cut India off. Trade sanctions on India, the world's fastest growing big economy, could harm US companies and supply chains. Now, any kind of harsh measure against India can risk pushing India closer to China and Russia. So if you see, it is very different from how the US treats Russia, which faces full economic isolation and frozen assets in the West, then Iran, which has been under decade-long sanctions affecting entire sectors, then China, which faces export controls and tariffs tied to tech and human rights issues. So while the US pressures India, it does so in a measured and strategic way. Now, if you see, the US approach to India is shaped by competing priorities, not hostility. US very well know that India is a key partner in Indo-Pacific security frameworks, amphibious military exercises with US and partners, defense technology collaboration which isn't possible with outright adversaries. And then if you also see, the US has major investment in India. It wants India as a consumer market for US goods, from tech and defense to agriculture. A hard breakup with India would damage US economic interest more than what they could get out from India by being strict and manipulative. This is why the US uses carrots and sticks, pressure on one issue like oil or S-400 defense buys, but incentives and cooperation on others. And that is also why you will see India's foreign policy is deliberately non-aligned. It has historically balanced relations with Russia, which is its oldest strategic partner on defense and energy, with US, a rising strategic partner in technology and security, and then China, which is a rival and economic partner in some domains. This philosophy is called strategic autonomy, meaning India resists being told what to do internationally, whether by the United States, European Union, or anyone else. So even under US pressure, India has continued Russian oil imports for economic reasons. It won't easily accept limits on defense purchases from Russia. And it insists its choices will be based on national interest, not external directives. Now, this puts India in a different category than those countries which the United States perceives as adversaries or targets of containment. Now, if you see how the United States treats India, it engages with India in deep strategic cooperation on defense and security. It pursues trade and investment ties. It negotiates on global issues like climate, technology, and supply chains. It applies economic pressure selectively, and they also avoid direct sanctions that could rupture the partnership. And then if you see how the United States treats Russia, full economic sanctions, financial isolation, long-term adversarial policy. And then if you look at how the United States treats Iran, then they have put sector-wide sanctions, diplomatic isolation, direct threats tied to nuclear and regional policies. And then if you look at how the United States treats China, strategic rivalry, trade and tech war, military competition in the Indo-Pacific. So if you see, India is not in that category. It is a partner with limits, not an enemy. The US pressure on India is real but carefully calibrated, not outright hostility. It reflects larger US goals, containing China's rise without alienating India, then reducing Russian revenues without collapsing India's energy security, then keeping India in the Western strategic fold without forcing it to make impossible choices. That is why the US uses pressure over time rather than instant hard sanctions, especially since India is economically and strategically too important to treat like an adversary. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.